Hello and welcome to episode 4 of MTG Talk. It's Foster
and Thick.
Sergeant Beep Beep Mountain.
Our special guest tonight. So, this week we have the pre-release coming up. I think all three of us are playing it.
I am.
Oh, yeah.
And I figure we'll just talk about our top 15 limited cards we want to be opening in this format.
Yeah, it's time to talk about things magic-y.
My God, you're gay.
So, for this list, we cut out all the rares and mythic rares. Snick, do you want to start us off with your number 15?
I actually don't have a specific order.
Okay. You're...
I do have an order for the it's if I can go.
Okay.
So I put Sacred Cat. It's a 1 white lifelink for 1/1, right? And you get embalmment. I just thought thinking lifelink would be very powerful in limited, right? And especially some combination of red cards I talk about. You give it that +3/+3. Now I got a 4/4. Turn 2, pumping in for 4 life could sway a game in your favor, I think.
I actually like this card when it was spoiled.
I'm not saying it's a bad card, but it's number 15 in my top 15, right?
Yeah. When I brought it up to Snick, he didn't like it.
I don't know. Look at the green white human deck. When they added that guy who could add life to your humans, now you're swinging for not only a lot of damage quickly, but you're doing it's even like double because now there's a double life swing. You're going down by 10, I'm going up by 10, so now you basically made a 20-point difference with a 10-point swing. That's why I'm a big fan of life.
Okay, well... When we did see it, it was before there was an actual cat theme going on.
Okay, so now you...
I would love the pussy theme.
So now you like it because we have a cat theme.
Yeah, because in general, in limited, I don't want to be playing a 1-1 lifelink for 1.
But it also had a bomb to bring it back. It was 2 creatures in 1. That's why I liked it.
Definitely. Recyclable. Especially you pull a few rares. We're not talking about rares on our list. But you can bring rare cards back from your graveyard. For 3 mana, I think it is, on that double-sided card. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dawn. Sorry, it's 5.
Oh, the Dusk and Dawn.
Dusk and Dawn card,
okay.
Yeah. So that potential is there, too. Especially open 2 or 3. Now you got 3 lifelink. Worst case scenario, Thunder Swing, you need to jump block it, you're gaining life, not losing life. Because it's,
Just for me, as a general rule, I don't play a 1-1 lifelink for 1 unless I see evidence that it is good in the format. Like, what was that Eidolon from Theros that was a 1-1 lifelinker, but it had the bestow, and the bestow was really good. Cause
That +1/+1 and gave creatures lifelink, and you bestow it for 5, like it was.
Yeah. Where that one was actually decent because you could put it on a larger thing, and then it would just drop off on its own, and then you load that one off.
Okay, I never played Theros Block for much of anything.
So yeah, in general, I don't play it. If I notice that it's actually, like, really good, then I might start trying it, but me, I'm not so hot on the card.
Snick, your first card to talk about?
Wayward Servant. It costs a white and a black. It's a zombie, and whenever another zombie enters the battlefield under your control, each opponent loses 1 life, and you gain 1 life. It's a 2/2. I really like this because there's a high number of zombies in the set. And there's also the other guy who gives +1/+1 to all your zombies, so there is a zombie theme. So this is mainly me picking this for draft. So I would want to draft a zombie deck.
Do you know what it works really well with?
What?
The cat we just talked about.
Also, there's that...
Get on curve.
There's a white card as well. Basically... Destroy, exile target creature was blocked by a zombie or something this turn, which definitely ties to that, right?
Yeah, there is a heavy zombie theme. I feel like they're really pushing it.
Oh, it's been through all the things with the everything you involve comes back as a zombie.
Yeah, but.
Man, my number one was so bad, now was it? Mm-hmm.
So, my 15th pick card is Painted Bluffs. It's Shimmering Grotto, but the reason it's on this list is it's a desert. That's why I picked it. There's a slight desert theme in the set to be able to search it out. So let's say you don't have one of your colors. Or for some reason you're playing a tricolor deck. And you have a way to search out a desert, but not a basic land. it works to be able to filter your all your islands into becoming at least one mountain so you can play your on-crop crasher.
Alright.
Just a way to work through.
I'll buy it for a dollar. I agree, but I'll buy that theme for a dollar.
I like the deserts. We haven't seen them in...
I spent some time in the desert. It's a shitty place.
Not much to say about my car.
Yeah. I'm not excited to put it in my deck. I never liked Shimmer and Grotto.
I won't be throwing it in my decks. I just like the synergy with the other search up desert cards, and I don't believe there was any basic land searches. If there was, then I just take it off the list. It's just there as a mana fixing tool.
Okay.
Sarge, your next card?
So we're going bottom to top or top to bottom? Because I went bottom up, right? So we're going bottom up?
Bottom
cool.
up.
So I did that Ta-Crop Elite.
Which one's that?
One second. I got late tonight, right? So I don't have much time for this. Ta-Crop Elite is the stupid freaking thing. Oh, see, Nick was distracting me with his tomfoolery there, and I lost my spot on the page. Ta-Crop Elite, is that the crap?
Okay. Where are we?
I believe that's the blue card, actually. Is that a blue card? The only one I know?
Don't think so.
Shit, guys, I'm sorry.
I think I figured out a way to search this up better. How do you spell it?
It's Tah-Crop Elite.
There we go, found it. It's a white card.
Oh, yes. Oh, is it the Exile one?
Exile one?
Takra Elite.
White and three with flying. It's a 2/2.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
You may exert Takra Elite as it attacks. When you do, creatures you control get +1/+1 until end of turn.
Yeah, so something in limited, flying is always important, right? And the fact that you can give all your creatures a +1/+1 bonus, especially if you've got a bunch of flyers. If you get a couple of those on the board in the later game, especially some of the formats that we play is Dreaded Giant and such, now you got, you know, an extra bonus for something I think that's going to get in and hit pretty effectively.
I like most of the exert cards.
Yeah?
There's a couple that made my list because of their exert abilities, and I think it's this list has one card on it. If not, I'll find it while we're talking that really has synergy with the exert cards. This one being 4 mana and a 2/2, very fair at common.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's not my play in standard, obviously, but I think at common, I think it's worth talking, mentioning at least once.
Yeah. Even with it just being a flyer, it's really good, even if you're not doing an exert deck.
Exactly, yeah. Because how many times have we seen blue-white flyers crush people, right? And this gives an option to pump up all your creatures.
Yeah.
Especially if you get a fast red or white weenie kind of style deck, or even black with all the zombies, something like that. I just think it's something that needs some consideration, in my opinion.
Alrighty. I guess
you're up.
Anything else? My turn?
Yeah.
Okay. So my next card is Merciless Javeliner. It costs black and a red and 2. It's a creature Minotaur Warrior. It has an activated ability of 2, discard a card, put a -1/-1 counter on target creature. That creature can't block this turn, and it's a 4/2. I think it's great. How many times have you been sitting there in a game limited where you're just drawing land, and you're stuck there holding on to, like, 3 or 4 lands.
It's one of the cards I consider for my list. I definitely, I like that card for sure.
And if you're doing, like, some sort of go-wide strategy in those colors, you can just be like, can't block.
Definitely, yeah. No.
Yeah, and I think the best part about this card is it can still attack when it uses its ability.
Yeah,
definitely.
It doesn't tap to do it, so.
Yeah.
Or even if they have one big guy and everything else you have will either trade or kill their other stuff, make their big guy not able to block and then swing in and
clear out a bunch of the board.
Yeah. I think it's very solid.
I agree with that.
Alright.
My pool dictates red-black. I'm definitely going to play that.
Yeah.
My next card is another desert.
Of course it is.
I like the Nuzzards. Add Colors Manager Manipool for 3 mana. Sacrifice Cradle of the Accursed. Create a 2/2 black zombie creature token. But you can only activate this ability when you cast sorcery. I like it because late game... Well, early game, you're playing it as a colorless land.
Yeah.
Let you cast your early creatures and whatnot. Late game, you have all your land. You've got that cradle sitting there. You've got nothing better to do than make a 2/2 black zombie. And if you are in a zombie theme, like the first card Thick talked about, there's a synergy there, along with all the other zombie cards that are in rare and in mythic rare. That we're not going to talk about tonight, but...
It's essentially a man land at common, is it?
Yeah, it's a common.
Yeah, it's a common. So it's like a man land at common.
With one activation.
Yeah, but then you also have the zombie forever.
Till it gets murdered.
Yeah, killed.
But we all agree the cradle's a good desert?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Our 14th picks.
Is,
That was them.
Yeah.
13 picks.
Devoted Cropmate.
So we have Devoted Cropmate. It's a 3/2 for 2 and a white. You may exert Devoted Cropmate as it attacks. When you do, return target creature card with converted mana cost 2 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield.
Right. So that's going along with the cat idea, but again, the zombie idea. There's, even if you start getting the rares, you're playing red white or something, you got that. The Soul Scar Mage and stuff. I just think it's a very versatile card, especially in a format that's going to probably benefit lower costing cards to get out the gate fast, right? I mean, it's more of an early game, obviously, but I just, that's what I was thinking about. It's a utility card, right? There's a little value to it on top of, I'm actually getting rid of something you don't want.
It's a mini Sun Titan.
Yeah,
exactly. I like calling him Little Titan.
It's just definitely a mini Sun Titan that you use every other turn.
I really like the art on it. He's like leaning over the wall, helping his buddy up.
Yeah,
Well, that's Zoltan Boros. He does a pretty good art. I think I first picked that in draft.
Yeah?
Yeah? I'm not sure it's a first pick, but it'd be a high pick for sure. Depends what my colors dictate, right?
I would take 4th or 5th pick.
Yeah, it all depends on where it's coming out and how well you're...
Because there are a lot of better things than that.
There are.
That color. But, like, I would probably pick removal over that right away.
Well, you always pick removal right over it.
Because removal is so hard to come by now.
They're not doing anybody any favors with the lack of amount of removal being printed right now. That's for sure.
And if you do see a good one, it's a rare.
Yep, which is something we're on our list tonight, right? So.
Yeah.
I found a couple good removal spells that were on my first list that got erased. I forgot their names, and I'm thinking about them now.
Yeah. Well, you shouldn't have frozen your computer.
We went outside. I think I ran to the store that time.
Yeah.
Well, let's be honest here. You two don't run anywhere except maybe to the washroom.
I run down that hill, and I walk slowly back up.
Yeah, exactly. You're rolling down the hill. That's incredible here. Pairs escape.
Oh. So, your 13th card? Or
yours.
It's yours. You're after me.
You're next.
You're next there, Paco.
Oh, okay. Decimator Beetle is my next card. So, it costs... black, green, and 3 other. It's a creature insect. And when it enters the battlefield, put a -1/-1 counter on target creature you control. And when it attacks, remove a -1/-1 counter from target creature you control and put that counter on one target creature defending player controls. And it's a 4/5. I really like it because for 5 mana, just having a 4/5, even if you have to throw it on like one of your 2/2s, really good, or you could throw it on itself and attack it, and you shrink down one of their blockers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like that one.
And especially with, I noticed with the black green cards, there's a lot of, like, put a minus one counters on your creatures.
Yeah, they have a very big minus one counter theme.
Yeah, so it's just sort of, like, shifting those counters over to your opponent's stuff.
That card works really well with one of my highest one cards, too.
Yeah. Again, mine's not in the specific order. This one would be fairly high.
Oh, definitely.
I just sort of threw 15 in here. Didn't think about what order to place them like everybody else did, apparently.
Well, I even came late and I figured that part out. Maybe you should get your shit together next time.
I'm sorry, I have a Switch and I was playing Legend of Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you were doing that. I managed to sign up for a Pokemon tournament that's happening next weekend.
Legend of Zelda or Legend of the Virgin? Starring you.
Let's the second virgin joke be like tonight.
Love you, buddy. Anyways.
So we all agree that card is an A-plus card?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's very worthwhile playing.
So, what are we at, 13th?
Yes.
My 13th pick is Grasping Dunes. The last desert I'm going to talk about tonight. I wanted to talk about all three deserts.
Okay, no problem.
I like how there's a new land type. We haven't had that in a while.
Let's go back to when the Eldrazi came back with Wasteland. The Waste, right?
Oh, yeah.
Basic Land Waste.
Well, I wish there was a Basic Land Desert. Okay, they have the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
This one, again, is add colorless mana to your mana pool. For one, you can tap and sacrifice Grasping Dunes. Put a -1/-1 counter on target creature. Activate this ability only any time you could cast a sorcery. Again, my 13th pick just kind of lines up with the card you just talked about, Snek.
Yeah?
This one's an uncommon. I like it. It's removal on a land.
I don't like the sorcery part.
We never liked the sorcery part. I don't like how both of the deserts are just activated only when you can cast a sorcery.
Well, that's the end of the new fad in Magic almost, right? We went from instant removal, you know, good, solid instant removal. Now it's very hard to find instant removal. If you do, it's only like sometimes in red for only for a couple points, right? Nothing substantive, except for I think the new red card is 4 damage, but it's like 4 mana to do 4 damage or whatever instant speed. But they're trying to slow down the game, right? So unfortunately, getting that shift in the meta style, I think.
I don't think it's so much they want to slow down the game as much as they want you to commit to your actions on your turn.
Yeah, maybe, but I me being an old school player, right, way back in the day, I started back in 97, something like that, I was all about the combat tricks. You know, like a giant gross, you had red pump spells, you had red burn, you had a lot of combat tricks are based on, before the stack existed, right, too, so you had to play combat tricks to basically get your stuff to live and get that advantage on somebody else, right, so... I know. Personally, I'm a fan of instant speed removal and combat style tricks, so each their own.
Which is funny, because my point was going to be, they're just trying to screw over the control players.
Yeah, I'm on board for that. Screw you, Blue!
I don't know why you picked deserts as your first one. You know what there is in a desert? An island. There's no islands in a desert.
I'm very open to different things.
Well, that's not... Never mind. We'll go there.
All right.
So, should I flip the last two picks? Put the Grasping Dunes at 14?
Yeah. I would think so, but... Anyway, let's move on.
Okay. So we're at, what, pick 12? So we're at?
Yep.
This is a bit of a weird pick. I was kind of struggling. I just picked a card. Could have went lower. But I was kind of thinking, being the red player that I am, you tied in with Fling is the Scale Behemoth, right? I like the fact that it's hexproof. It's a big body. I know it's a little later game, but it'd be a good finisher potentially. Also, the fact that it's still 6 mana for 6/7 hexproof. So you're not killing it with anything. I mean, and I'm thinking about tying in when you get the other sets, which would be more removal and such. I just think... that it's a card that you can bang away at for a while, and if something comes up, you use the blocker, you fling it in, kill somebody, you finish them off, right? That was kind of where I was going with that.
All right. We're still trying to pull up this card.
It's a Scale Behemoth. 4 colors, 2 green, hexproof,
I really like this card.
I'm not saying it's a bad card. I'm not sure I should put this high, but I just think that you can do, there's a lot of flexibility to it. In fact, it's hexproof, 6/7 body, and it's 6 mana. You need a late game finisher, and if you're going to be in green, this is definitely a late game finisher for you, right? You can give you a little more.
I definitely want to come back and talk about this card because it's on my list.
Okay.
Much higher.
Okay.
And I want to talk about why.
Hexproof should not be a thing.
Well, we'll talk about that later.
Listen, you blue players can suck the big one, all right? Hexproof is the best thing around to blue, against blue. So screw you, can't bounce my shit. I'm going to punch you in the face. Yeah.
All right. We'll move to mine. Aven Windguide. It cost a white and a blue and two other. It's a bird warrior with flying vigilance. It's a 2/3. And it says, creature tokens you control have flying and vigilance. It has embalm for 4, a white, and a blue.
I didn't see that card. That's good. I like that choice, Nick. I didn't like put that higher because maybe not so much this, but there's tokens. I think there's tokens coming from tokens.
All embalm.
Sets, right?
Every embalm yeah. is a token.
Oh, my God.
And they're going to have a token for them. So
well, that lifelink embalm.
Yeah.
Adam Thomas with a lifelink, man. There you go with flying vigilance. Bam! 2 life a turn. You block it. And you hit in, you're rolling. Your little first strike, baby, you're gaining life like crazy. It's awesome.
Like, I picked this because I feel like when you're drafting, take this early, and you now have a build-around theme to go with.
Sure.
And you're wanting to just embalm everything.
And zombies.
Yeah. I see some of these being like, there's this main theme, and then you can also splash another color, like that zombie I showed earlier, because all the embalms are zombies. You might feel tempted to splash for that one, for that zombie, just so that every time you embalm, you do the drain. But
also, if you play right now, three colors with the Aven Windguide, and what was that other zombie's called?
The one before.
The black white one you're talking about?
Yeah.
No, it's,
I'm scrolling.
He's scrolling.
You're frozen.
No.
Wayward Servant.
Wayward Servant, there we go.
Yeah. I really do feel like I would first pick Aven Windguide, and if I did, I'd be second picking the Wayward Servant.
Even if I don't have an embalm theme, I'm not upset to have a 2/3 flyer for 4.
No.
Flyer for return, yeah.
Yeah. And that's all I have to say about this card. Everybody else?
It's just a solid card.
I put my points in there. I think it's not a bad call at all.
Yeah. Alrighty then.
So my pick is Oncrop Crasher. 2 and a red mana. It's a 3/2 with haste, and you may exert Oncrop Crasher as it attacks. When you do, target creature can't block this turn.
Nice. I see. That's my. What are we on right now?
We need 12.
12. Yeah, I have the Oncrop Crasher a little higher, but I definitely love that card.
Well, we can talk about it when we get...
Yeah, we'll talk about it when we get over to Sergeant's...
Well, mine's higher than that. Mine's way up. Mine's way up a little.
Being way up, too, so...
We'll hold off on me talking.
We'll always talk about it at the highest
rating. So we're moving on to...
Number 11.
I put down that snake cat. Prowling Serpent Prod, or hell you
think that's a rare?
No, it's an uncommon. Positive uncommon. It can't be countered.
Yeah, it's a rare.
Oh crap! Well then, out to me then. I'll just. that's where I'll throw on that Merciless Javeliner. Yeah, totally okay. Merciless Javeliner. I think especially. If you can get it early, that theme like we talked about earlier, the fact that the -1/-1 counter can block, you can go wide, gives you a lot of variability. I would search that out, switch that out for sure. I would have a problem with that.
All right. So, my next card is, I don't know how to pronounce this, I'm going to butcher this, Ahan Crop Champion.
I have that one higher as well.
Yeah.
That's in my top 5. It's my 5th card from the top.
Okay, we can
joke. Wait, wait, I don't want to see your guys' thunder here.
Well, it's fine. We will hold off and talk about it later.
Yep.
Mine is Electrify.
Yeah.
Three in a red, instant. Electrify deals 4 damage to our creature.
That's what I was talking about before. Yeah, yeah. Electrify. Remember the name.
As we stated earlier, it's hard pressed to come across good instant speed removal. This one is a common that deals 4 damage at instant speed to target creature.
And let's not forget, if we... We're not talking about rares now, but you get that rare guy down there that deals damage with -1/-1 counters.
Well, yeah.
Now it's suddenly, I think, a little more substantial. Because now you get something bigger, a little combat trick, and it dies to something you have, even if you don't have enough. Well, if it's bigger than a 4/4, right? It's still going to die if you block with something a little bigger, right? Like a 2/3 or something.
Yeah. Throw
a 5/5,
oh, yeah.
five, now it's dead, and you got a 2/3, and I think it's a good card, for sure.
I just wish that it, for being so expensive, that it also hit players, or at least creature or planeswalker.
I agree with you. There's not enough of that going on right now. It's either, it seems to have kind of swung from player creature to creature. But let's not forget, it's a common, so you're going to see more of them in a draft than you would like the uncommon, the rare slot. So you could end up potentially have, I mean, you have 4 in a deck, really. I mean, that's like, how many times we've got commons, you get 4 or 5 in a deck. And if you get 4 or 5 of that, if you suddenly pull 4 or 5 commons that dug players well, that's 16 to 20 damage you can do directly to a player in your deck. I mean, not you're going to do it all to them, but it gives you that more of an option to finish someone off, where I don't think that's the idea behind the card. I think they want to keep people honest.
Or, you know, at least put, like, creature or planeswalker on there, so that if my opponent does have a planeswalker, I'm not solely relying on just attacking with my creatures to deal with that.
But with this, you're able to take out the creature that they wanted to use to block for the planeswalker.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I think they're trying to make people play Magic differently than we've been used to the last couple of years.
I think they're trying to bring back a little more intellectual thought behind it, process. You got to plan your moves. Not people don't plan other moves before, but I think now it's... Everyone's got very good at watching pros play on the internet, Twitch and other whatever station supplies it, you know, YouTube and others, some things like that. And people play, how the pro play is going to play like this. So I think this is going to shake things up a little bit to force people to not relearn how to play Magic, but go to a different angle until they've had a lot of time to watch guys play a certain style for so long it's become ingrained and just, I don't want to say stale, but sometimes it's like, oh, he's going to do this, he's going to do that. Where this, like, I think it's new kind of sorcery speed removal and stuff like this is going to make people interact differently with each other. That's my thought on it.
So, well, I think they also want to punish people more for their mistakes, too.
Oh, yeah, it's less forgiving in style, right?
Yeah.
So our next card
is number 10, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Havatar's Mark. So Havatar's Mark, yeah, this card could go lower. It's an uncommon, right? It's an instant target creature gains X proof until end of turn, remove all -1/-1 counters from it. So I've been talking about this instant speed removal, thinking more of that red guy, right? You're going to pull in the -1/-1 counters off it, so you can remove that kind of stuff. I also think it's going to be a little more effective for potentially modern or other formats where it can see some play. I think it's going to be the fact that you have something hexproof, or when we started getting a standard constructed, the fact that you have a good bomb out there or something that's going to pound people pretty good, and they'll remove it, and you can get quick 1 green cost mana to protect your good, solid threats for very cheap, I think is that's kind of why I put it so high.
It's funny, when I was going through and making my list, I almost put this in my top 5. I like how with the -1/-1 counter theme,
yeah,
they gave us a card that removes all the counters from it.
Definitely. It's not just a couple. It's everything. So if you get a big creature, especially that enchantment, like it's +3/+3, now someone from like 4/4 to 7/7, now it's down to 2/2. Boop. Next group, you can't target to kill it. And guess what? It's now the 7/7 again, and all your work you did to friggin' do that to it, and you can't do anything else to it this turn if you play it right, you know, on your stack. They can't put more counters on there, and you're going to crush somebody pretty bad.
Yep.
Potentially.
Definitely on par with Blossoming Defense.
Yeah.
Yeah. that's what I'm thinking too. You put that Boston defense in there, something like this, and you got a couple things to protect your stuff.
Now, I'm not saying we're going to throw it in and fetch for more.
Oh, no. But no.
It's limited?
Definitely.
Hexproof for one mana?
Or even standard. Standard's a little, like we talked about the minus counters. Modern, I'm not sure. But the potential's there, I'm saying. I'm not saying you're going to play it for sure, but that, I think it has the potential to go in more than just one style or format.
I would definitely enjoy it more if it cost one more mana and removed all different kinds of counters from creatures for standard.
Yeah.
Just because of Walking Ballista.
But
yeah.
If it removes all kinds of counters, that means my Gideon attacking, you can just kill it with it. Right?
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'm good with that too. But no. I guess
would just splash screen for that one card.
It'd be another Thagdross all over again, right?
Yeah.
How many decks, I mean, there's John Dex obviously at the time playing Thagdross, right? But how many decks were like, you know, like green-white, obviously green-white's a theme, but there's lots of decks that, you know, had no business playing green at all. But
the blue-white decks that just played green for the
first green to throw Thagdross in on the sideboard and mess up like five life here, five life there. And then they bounce with Resto and stuff. It was just got under control, and I could not wait for that card to rotate to standard. Especially playing like an aggressive vampire deck at one point. I played against a guy. I did 60 points of damage. I lost the game. He had three life left, and I did 60 points of damage to him. Before you kill me.
You'll enjoy. I never got around to playing with Thragtusk. Not once did I use Resto to blink Thragtusk. I used it to blink Geist and Trapped.
Yeah, that's what the blue-white decks were doing until Thragtusk came out. And they're like, I might as well, we have this, like, great mana right now. Why don't I splash the green, play for Thragtusk, and instead of just blinking my Geist to save it, I can also blink this Thragtusk and gave me some life against aggro decks.
I did something dirty 1 week before rotated. Thagdross, Resto Angels, Cloud Shift, and that artifact. What was that artifact again? For four, Chalice of Life that flipped to the Chalice of Void, minus five. So I'll gain one life, flip it, you lose five, game over. You know, and I'm at 87 life, and they're dead because I flipped the freaking Chalice of Life to Chalice of Void, and like that, right? I'm glad I didn't play it any earlier than the previous week before everything rotated, because I felt a little dirty kicking everybody's ass, I'm not gonna lie.
All right. So, it's my turn now. So, this, I guess this sort of counts as two, sort of doesn't. I have the new split cards. I have Start to Finish on here. So, Start costs white and two other. It's an instant, and it creates 2/1/1 white warrior creature tokens with vigilance. And Finish costs black and two. It's a sorcery. It has Aftermath, so Aftermath means you can only cast this spell from your graveyard, and then you exile it.
Mm-hmm.
So, as an additional cost to cast Finish, sacrifice the creature. Destroy target creature. I think it's a really solid removal spell. Also builds up your board at the same time.
Oh, yeah. I looked at that one myself. I'm not going to lie. The split card, one reason why I didn't pick it, I hate split cards. Pardon
me. Okay.
Once you're familiar with something bad, but especially newer players, are like, they start turning their hands, he's got a split card, which one is it? And what color is it? You can kind of narrow it down, right? But it's like, the fact that you got to turn sometimes, read it, even after you know what the card does, you got to make sure I don't do this, I'll make sure I don't make a play mistake here, and it's people kind of, you can tell people a split card. That's kind of one reason why I didn't include the split card. So that's the part of mine I don't like. Don't get me wrong, it's nice to have a card that does two things for you, but that's why I complain about the split card. That's why I didn't put some ice in it.
I like to mess with people and always turn all my cards sideways.
You do a lot of things to mess with people.
I like
sometimes that condomos is working and they're going to play body.
I like the Aftermath split cards.
Yeah.
You get to use both sides
The way I do my graveyard, I have my graveyard sideways already. In the exact position they go in. So I'm already going to be able to read split card in my graveyard.
Yeah. I'm not in your hand, the last thing.
Yeah, in the hand it's going to be annoying. I remember the, Dragon's Maze.
Yeah.
With these split cards, you don't even need to pay attention to the side.
Well, yeah, definitely.
Because you don't need to look at that tilted.
Sometimes it's nice to know what this You should know it does, but let's be honest, sometimes people get brain farts.
Yeah.
No matter how good or bad player you are.
Yeah. Especially on pre-release weekend, and you can play six tournaments in a row with a five-hour break after an hour drive to get to the event. And that's both ways. You just end up tired and exhausted. Quite reasonable.
So, number nine.
Oh, I got my pick.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, go ahead.
Shimmer Scale Drake. One blue mana, four other. Flying, cycling for two, and it's a 3/4.
You know what?
I like flyers. Oh, it's also a common.
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
When we talked about it before, the blue-white flyer stuff, that was one of the cards I considered, too. It's 3/4. It's going to kill just about anything, and it's going to live to just about anything, right? Unless they double block you, and then you're going to get some value out of it. I would definitely support that card.
And even if you can't cast it, like, say you're, like, mana screwed or something, you just cycle
it. Yeah, there you go, yeah. It's no real doubt of that card, especially as a common slot.
It's a lot better than, like, because usually if there's no cycling on that card, I would still just play that 5-cost flyer 3/4.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no problem.
I was looking at
this set. Makes it so much better that I can just draw
especially, there's not very much reach in the set or flyer
3/4. It's really big. There's no. Giant Spider, but that's still, what, a 2/4?
2/4 for...
4 mana?
4 mana.
So it's come down before your Drake, but if you have any way to pump at 1 or put a -1/-1 counter exactly. onto the Giant Spider, the Drake's beating through the Spider.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
I don't think Giant Spider is that good in this set as it has been in previous sets.
Mm-hmm.
And this Drake showcases not only that 3/4 with flying are just good, no matter what the mana cost is,
mm-hmm.
but it exemplifies the cycling ability.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Like I said, I don't think there's really a downside to this card, especially being common. I expect more of his uncommon stuff at a common level. I think it's very good.
If it was a uncommon, I expect the cycling to be 1 for a blue mana.
Yeah.
And then that would make it sold. I don't even think it would make it that much better.
No.
What do you think, Snick? Not really ways to improve on this card. It's a beautifully designed card.
Oh, no, you can give it hexproof.
Well, there's that card that goes hexproof.
Yeah, buddy. Hexproof.
It's not fair.
Screw you, Blue.
Okay, next card.
All right. Consuming Fever. It's 1 red. It is +3/+3. Let me find the card here and make sure I'm reading it properly. Going off my memory here. Sometimes that's not so good because I hang out with guys like you and you mess it up. Consuming Fever, yeah. It's an enchant creature. It's for 1 red. It's uncommon. And a target creature is +3/+3. It has the beginning of your upkeep. Put a -1/-1 counter on a creature. So the reason why I took it is, you can start, especially like that cat, for example, now it's a 4/4 lifelinker that's swinging on turn 2. You put the -1/-1 counters on there. That can get out of hand quite quickly, I think. Especially even... Like, you got the white card there that makes those 1/1 artifact creatures. You got servos. Even if it goes into standard, I think you play this card in standard potentially, right? I just think, and there's got to be stuff coming afterwards. There's a token theme already, right? There's a token theme already, or stuff for token theme with that blue-white flyer, you know, all your tokens get. I really feel that this card could help to not negate it, but definitely give you more of a fighting chance against someone trying to go wide against you. That's my idea why it's...
I like this card. Do you guys remember back when I came back out, the Journey of Nyx was out?
Yeah.
And I was playing that janky red deck?
Mm-hmm.
With all just the commons and uncommons, and it just enchanted everything and beat in? I feel like this card would be perfect fit in that deck.
Yeah.
I just wish there was more of a heroic ability to go along with this.
Definitely. Even like we're talking about your blue-white flyer there, or your blue flyer there.
Oh, yeah.
You throw something out on a 3/4, now it's a
6/7.
5/6, 6, and you start putting -1/- counters on there, so they have like a small flyer, or even the reach spider, it's gone.
Yeah.
See, they put it in the wrong color.
No, they didn't.
It should have had a green mana symbol.
No.
Because then you have to put mountains in your deck.
Are we
going to try to complete with this card?
There's mountains in it. It has a mountain.
Yeah. You have to use a mountain to cast it.
You're not going to like anything that is set for the next few cards, are you?
Probably. No, I got a lot of red coming up here.
But see, you liked my red card earlier. You haven't complained about my red cards.
No, he's just looking for get a punch in the face. All
No, I just also feel like with the theme of the set, if it was green, it would go along with that green-black -1/-1 counter theme.
But then you got the red-black theme, too. -2, discard a card, -1/-1 counter, right? That you can work in tandem that. So late game, it's not a letdown either, right? Even the one red, because now something's getting +3/+3 and -1/-1 counter. So potentially, you can be something giving -2, something 2, -1/-1 counter, so -2/-2, and you get that, the 1W3W 2/2 flyer, now suddenly it's negated. It's gone off the board, and it exhorted one turn, whatever. It's gone. Like, you're going to have to use that ability to make your creatures hit with some substantiation. If not, you're going to get blown out of it, because it's going to wipe the other person's board. Especially if you can get a green, black-red theme, even the green-red theme. I really feel this card, especially a card I'll talk about later on, when all your creatures get trampled, given that -1/-1 counter, now just made your creature 1 point bigger in theory, because now it's doing one more point of trample damage running over. That's my thought on it. That's where I'm going with it.
Okay, it's just I know that the green has shown evidence of giving away your -1/-1 counters, so I feel like those in green it would stick around a little more, because if you have it on that... the multicolor card I talked about earlier.
Yeah.
You can just start handing, just continuously handing out that -1 every time.
Well, I just play Jund. Just Jund them out.
Yeah, true.
Just Jund them out.
Yeah, you know.
And there's no blue in Jund. Next, you're up.
You're up. Do you have a card?
No, I have a green card.
You have a green card.
Really?
Yeah.
Bitchin' whine about red and green. I like green card.
I wasn't complaining about green.
What was it that you said green stuff?
Shut up.
Then you won with green?
Greater Sandworm is my card. It costs 5 green-green. It's a worm. And Greater Sandworm can't be blocked by creatures with power. Creatures with power 2 or less has cycling for 2 colorless. Oh, sorry, 2 generic. And it's a 7/7.
I like this card a lot, just for that last line there. Creatures with power 2
or less. What, 7/7 or...
Well, 7/7 means it, but the two are less, right? Game block two.
Yeah.
So look at the set. What's the predominant theme? 1 and 2 power.
Mm-hmm.
And especially like in combo with that -1/-1 counters, whether from the green, the red, black, vampire, or that red enchantment I just talked about, you can get guys down that 2 power very easily, and now you're cakewalking for 7 damage.
Yeah.
3 turns, you're dead. Unless they find some way to get around it, right? That's my thought.
It's a green version of Evasion, so...
I like it. I want it. I think I'm playing green on Friday, on Saturday.
How do you know?
Well, there's so many good green cards.
But what if your pool doesn't support it?
Well, then I'll just win with whatever else.
Remember how, the last set, that I just never got the good... I just continuously had to play red. It was like red, green, red, white, red, green, red, white. I could not get any other colors to support.
I think you won all the games you're playing in the red.
No, he lost a lot, actually, and I won a lot. That's how I ended up in the first and play of the year race.
Shots fired.
I was able to play well with whatever pool I had. But moving on, we all agree a 7/7 for 7 is good.
Yes.
With or without that evasion ability, with or without cycling for 2. I like how all the big cards in the set have cycling. So if you're mana screwed, need to draw more cards, they're just good for discard fodder. And there's cards like Gravedigger. My card.
Was that just a segue?
I made an actual segue.
Wow.
Well, I'm in shock and awe. Not really what I'm saying, just you feel like about yourself.
So, Gravedigger, really great in the set.
Yeah.
I think everyone knows what Gravedigger does. If you don't, it's 4 mana for a 2/2 zombie, which has more synergy later on. When Gravedigger enters the battlefield, you may return target creature card from your grave into your hand. I feel this card is going to be really great in this.
Definitely.
With all the cycling creatures like the Greater Sandworm, the Drake, you cycle them early, Gravedigger them back, effectively use whatever the Greater Sandworm to draw an extra card for 2 mana. You use Gravedigger to bring it back, and then you have the creature again anyways.
Oh, yeah, that's disgusting.
And let's not forget, too, we're going to think a little farther ahead when we start playing in Standard. You have that green-black worm, or snake, sorry, that makes a plus one counters.
Oh, yeah.
That's a target and a half on that. Get up, kill it, right? No problem. Kill it, I'll just grave digger back. And I just think this card's going to see play in Standard for that reason alone.
I do think Grave Digger's going to see play in Standard. It might wait until Battle for Zendikar block and Shadows over Innistrad rotate out.
Yep, for sure. But I really feel it's going to...
I think it was a solid reprint.
It really is. It might be at the uncommon level. I think I remember it being at common.
It was originally common. I'm 99% sure on that.
I think it was at least the common when I first started playing with M10. I'm not 100% sure on that, but it fits the zombie theme. It fits the cycling theme. It's a really solid all-around card for this set.
Yeah.
It already was to begin with.
Definitely. Okay, so we're at number 8, right?
Yep.
I chose True Heart Twins. And that card, I might have got a little zealous because it's red and got a little excited. But it's the 4 colors, 1 red. They're 4/4s. It's a Jackal Warrior. And I may exert True Heart Twins as it attacks. And maybe exert a creature control get +1/+0 until end of turn. So really, the exert theme, I think, is viable, especially in limited, right?
Oh yeah, definitely.
You go red, white, or something. You exert, like you're talking about those flyers, a couple creatures, bam, now you're like pumping stuff up by 3 or 4, getting in the air per creature. I that's kind of why I put it so high, because I just think that theme of exert is going to show its rear its ugly face in limited and really have an impact on the game.
I'm starting to see, like, this theme of, like, it's sort of like you want an exert deck, right? So you have the green-white multicolor, but you also have these, like, really good off-color things, too. So it's almost like they're wanting you to splash that third.
Well, Almond Ked is Nicol Bolas' plane.
Yeah.
He's a 3-color planeswalker. I think the next set we're going to see kind of a gold theme set with a lot of support for tri-color decks.
Definitely.
Okay. And this one, like, it's feeling like it might be a little slower because people are going to be playing tri-color to stick with themes and make solid decks. So it might be a slower format than we're anticipating.
And that's my other thought, right? We've had some formats that are slow. And to me, this is doesn't really speed things up, but just boost your creatures, but give them a little more punch, right? And sometimes the difference I found in these pre-releases where things would time quite a bit, where if you can give something, give your advantage, especially all, there's only one creature, other creatures, you know, exert is all your creatures, so you can start pumping up creatures, and really, 5 for 4/4 that has an ability is not bad. I play that in my deck, right?
I like it. I want to play it. It's red. What's your official opinion on this, Mr. Mountain Hater?
Careful.
Well, see, it's got Twin in the name, and I loved playing Splinter Twin, so it's good.
All right.
You do know it's nothing like Splinter Twin, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just thinking.
He's trying not to freaking get himself punched, is all he's saying.
Okay.
Oh, and sorry, yeah, so it's all creature +1/+0,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like it's an anthem effect.
Yeah.
Especially if you do 2 or 3 creatures and exert.
Each time they exert.
Right.
So my earlier pick of the on Crop Cracker, exert, target creature can't block. Oh, it got +1. Oh, wait, I attacked it to 4/4. You had one creature that was going to block something I had?
Not anymore.
Oops. Take 9 for the 2 creatures.
Way to finish somebody pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it's take 10. Take 10.
Oh, we're going to some hordes now, right? Okay.
Next card?
Man, I really feel like an outcast.
You should. You suck.
Well, you're going to cast out.
Okay. So it's another segue to my card, which is cast out. It costs 3 generic.
Which I happen to have on my list later on.
Okay, fine.
Well, we can talk about it now. But, what?
No, we'll hold off everyone else. We'll just
okay.
Do it later on.
Yeah, okay.
Keep it fair.
We'll talk about it later on. We'll move over to my card.
Oh. I have that one later on.
Oh, you do? But this works so well with my last card.
I have that one later on.
Oh, you have that one next. Oh, come on. Okay.
Okay, so I guess it's back to me. Oh, my God. Okay, so we just did number 8. Yes. So 7, honored crop captain. That is the red-white one?
I feel like it is.
Again, yes.
If I could spell.
I got right here. One second.
Spelling's hard.
Honored crop captain. So it's a one red, one white. It's a human warrior, even though she kind of looks a little bit of a cat there, whatever. I know you like your cat theme. But whenever honor crop captain attacks, other attacking creatures you control get +1/+0 to let them turn. It's a 3/2. So it's not bad. 3/2 for 2. And when you attack it, again, talking the whole anthem thing, pumping stuff up, getting that fast kill, I think this is going to speed up things without having to exert all your creatures, right? So you can keep pumping. Now you're at 4/4. You don't have to exert it, so you lose it for a turn. If you only got a couple creatures, now it's a 5/4. And just, I think it just adds a little more. And even a 3/2. 3/2 for 2, even though that ability, it's a playable card. Especially those two colors for me. And that's my take. You guys any other food for thought on that one?
You are the best at talking about red, so I'm going to leave that to you.
Well, thank you. You're looking a little blue.
So you want to talk about your card now?
Yeah.
The first card that we put on the list that someone had later on, and it was right after.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about this.
All right. Lord of Accursed.
Lord of the Accused.
Accused.
Or I am Accursed. Lord of the Accursed.
So it costs 2 generic, a black. It's a zombie. It's a 2/3. It has an activated ability of 1 and a black. Tap all zombies you control gain menace till end of turn. And other zombies you control get +1/+1. Hey, we got Zombie Lord at uncommon.
I have a question. The last set, we have that rare zombie, right? That gets +1/+1 for each zombie you control? Or is each zombie in your graveyard?
Oh, the one from Shadows or Eldritch Moon?
The moon, I think it was.
The double black one?
I think it's in casting cost. Or maybe it's 2 colorless, 2 black. Anyways, I'm thinking this becomes very more substantive, right? If you bring those two together, make a zombie-themed deck, potentially in standard, but also, I really think that this card is going to do good things with all the zombie themes, for sure.
I feel like it will do a bit in sealed.
Yeah.
It's going to do a lot more in draft.
Definitely.
Because you pick, say you get a couple of these in your first pack,
mm-hmm.
you're taking everything that says zombie now.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And all the embalmed creatures?
Yeah.
Get +1/+1.
Any embalm, anything that says zombie, you're just like...
Oh, exactly. I think you can tie other stuff into it, too. Like, I say, if you do... Because, let's be honest, everybody's screaming for another zombie deck.
Yeah.
Everyone loves... Zombie decks might not be a tier one deck all the time, but this, to me, gives me a thought that tying a few other cards, it could be. We got Liliana now that makes zombies. We have, that other zombie lord. This is a better zombie lord.
That zombie enchantment in this.
Yeah, the zombie,
I think that one's a rare, though.
Oh, wow. Okay, we're not talking about the rares, but I'm just saying there's a lot of stuff that can go together to make a solid, standard legal zombie deck on top of the fact how good this is going to be in limited.
Is this what you're talking about? Relentless Dead?
Well, that's one of them. There's another one, though. It's a 0/0. It comes in with +1/+1 counter on based on how many zombies, I think, in your graveyard or zombies you control. I forget it. It's, I'll look it up. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. So, zombie segue. Stir the sands.
I have that one later.
You've ruined my zombie segue after zombie segue.
Well, you know, you shouldn't be riding those segues. They're for twits.
Okay. Next card, then.
Nehab the Worthy. That, to me, couldn't have went even higher. It is the red-green for 3. 1 colorless, 1 red-green, I believe. Let me find on my page here. Try to find
I am pretty view. Sure that's another rare.
No, it's not. Did I write down the wrong card name? Nehab
It is a rare.
It's a rare.
Oh, for crying out. You guys stink. Screw it. Skip me. I'm a dumbass.
All right.
Don't agree with me. Try to find your zombie crap and grab the dude. Shit.
I have a feeling that after this podcast, I'll be doing these by myself and talking to myself.
What's new?
I'll say here's the ghost.
I don't want you around as a ghost.
It doesn't matter. You don't control where I haunt.
Can you haunt the guy who killed you?
No, because I'll just find a way to...
Yeah. He'll get some rock salt or something. And...
Well, you do know I know all about the supernatural stuff, too.
Except for Taylor wouldn't let you do that.
Anyways.
Next.
Anyway. So, Okatrez
attendant?
I was trying to figure out how to pronounce the first.
It's the white god.
It's the white god? I don't know how
it's
to pronounce
it. It's
a
bird soldier.
Oh, it's the blue god.
Yes, it's a bird soldier for white and three. It's a 3/3 flyer with cycling of two and has an embalm of the same mana cost. I really like this.
That's a solid card, man.
Yeah. Like, I can cycle this early game and still have access to play it without having to grave dig it up or anything.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just with the words, with the cycling and then the embalm, it makes it so much better.
And they made the embalm cost the same as the actual mana cost.
Right.
Yeah. It's a much better, it's one of the best cycling cards, I think.
Yeah.
Especially in the uncommon slot.
Especially if you're building some sort of, like, flying evasion type thing and it's just ridiculous. That's all I have to say.
So I think we're finally going to cast you out.
Okay, fine. Bye.
Cast out, it's a 3/1 Enchantment Flash. When cast out enters the battlefield, exile target non-land permanent and opponent controls. Until cast out leaves the battlefield, it has cycling for white mana. The one that is the speed removal?
I did.
I think we all did. Who liked Oblivion Ring?
The Oblivion Ring was good.
Okay.
I guess I was the one who played when Oblivion Ring was the card to be playing. I really like this card because it hits any non-land permanent. Well, that an opponent controls, it keeps it from doing an infinite loop that Oblivion Ring can do, which is why we'll never see Oblivion Ring again in a standard set. With the Flash, I agree that it costs one more mana than Oblivion Ring does.
But with the Flash, it's a good sound printing to stop the stupid cat freaking combo going on. The infinite loop combo there with the Planeswalker and the white cat.
Yep.
But don't worry, he has Thesis Snare for that.
Yeah, I guess so. State Snare's rotating. This is going to stay around. Is the Snare gone?
Nothing rotates until October.
Oh, that's where they changed the stupid rotation.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So we have something that stays around after rotation, at least.
So yes. We're just going to have more enchantment removal cards for now.
More options.
And I like that it has cycling. But that goes without saying, we all enjoy the cards that have cycling.
Yeah.
I'm done.
What number are we on? I just screwed up on the... I did not screw up.
You're in your top five.
Yeah, top five, number five, is the Outcrop Champion. So that is the green-white, 2-colorless green-white. I may exert Outcrop Champion as it attacks, and when you do, untap all the creatures you control. It's a 4-4. 4-4 for 4, and green-white, very popular color. Right now, at least, it's losing a little bit, but let's not forget the green-white human deck that's out there, and it's a human warrior, so now you can basically swing in for a big kill, and guess what, I'll exert it, and all those creatures are blockers for me now, on the next turn, right? So it's very difficult to get it definitely helps the crackback protection, and just makes it a lot, I think it makes it a lot safer and aggressive. Because you can do multiple things with stuff. Not to mention if you want to exert a white card.
Yeah.
You can exert it, and then exert this card afterwards, and that exert card untaps.
Two of these together.
Oh, disgusting.
Pseudo-vigilance for everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'd be first picking this card. And second picking.
I would first pick as long as my rare wasn't anything better. Yeah. We're assuming that. But yeah. Also, like, then you're not afraid to just exert everything yeah. for all their abilities if you just have a deck that's just 100% full of exert creatures.
Oh, yeah.
And get all those things that go on. And then they untap so they get to attack and do it again next turn. Especially with that red guy. If you could just, like,
oh, both of the red guys?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Again, this plays into that whole splashing a third color in a theme.
Yeah, your little Naya theme, I think it has potential to go big places. Big places if you can get the color fixing even come the next set. But even this set, I think there's enough of it. If you keep it at a minimal level, you can make it work.
Yeah, just a nice few little splashes of single color.
Yeah, yeah.
Single actual mana color.
And let's not forget, we have the dual lands in the set too, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that even gives the option that cycles on top of it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe with all the cycling, like, just the splash isn't that bad.
Yeah.
Because you can just cycle things.
Almost everything is a draw spell.
Yeah.
So that's my pick five.
All right. So mine is Vizier of Deformant. It's a creature, human cleric. It costs white and two other. It's a 2/2 with flash. And when it enters the battlefield, you may exile a target creature if it attacked or blocked this turn. Return that card to the battlefield under its controllers. Under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step.
Definitely. I like this.
I can attack, exert, flash it in,
blink it out,
blink it out, and then I can attack with it the next turn. It makes my exert not an issue.
I like how they came out with all these. You're going to exert your cards, and now they're not going to be able to block for you. But now it's the last two cards we've talked about is you're exerting your cards. Oh, it's no biggie. We have support for exert.
That I'm saying, exert's got a theme. Exert can actually be a quicker kill we're used to seeing in limited potentially because of these abilities to pump everything up and then sell the card to pump again the next turn. Have access to use that ability once next turn immediately afterwards and have another creature that flashes in that's going to be part of hitting next turn too, right? So.
And this card itself, it works on your opponent's cards.
Definitely, yes.
They go to attack
flash
you.
In,
and
get rid of that card.
I'm going to flash in, blink up your dude that's attacking. I'm going to block your other dude that you thought was going to get through. And
two for one. They block a guy with trample. Blink up the thing. It's no longer blocking your trample guy. Just gets through.
Yep.
Definitely.
I think it's solid.
So many uses for this card.
Yeah.
I think it will definitely see constructive play.
Yeah.
Especially being a human. I'm saying the human deck, I think, is going to stick around for a little while.
Oh, yeah. They like the humans.
They do. And I think they've made some really good support humans in the right colors.
I think the human race is paying them off to support them. Just there.
Well, they are the ones who buy their product.
Oh, my God.
Oh, what, you don't think zombies do? Don't you ever feel like a zombie after a pre-release?
Sort of.
Oh, you drink those stupid energy drinks.
Yeah.
The kind of flesh I use it, never mind.
My pick is Essence Scatter. The reprinted Essence Scatter.
Not a bad pick.
One in a blue, instant counter target creature spell. We haven't seen Essence Scatter in a few years. 4 years?
I want to say M12 was the last one.
So 5 years?
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Wasn't there one around when Cons was out, right before, where the end of that is kind of the end of the cycle when Cons was coming out? And Cons has been a little while.
That'd be 4 or 5 years then.
No, that was a different counter spell. It was one that countered a creature spell, but I don't think it was Essence Scatter itself.
Okay, you could be right. I'm just kind of clutching at straws here, but I remember something. No, you're right. No, that's something else. That's Scatter the Winds. You're right. No.
With Essence Scatter being back in standard, it's really going to open up the blue decks. I also really like it in limited because if you're playing field and you're in blue, you don't really have much removal to begin with. And just having the ability to pick Essence Scatter as like a. Just think of it as a terminate. Just for blue.
I don't like playing other counter spells in limited as much as I do Essence Scatter because it costs two. When Negate was around, I was like, I don't want to play this. Rated it slightly higher in the last set because of all the vehicles, but Essence Scatter is like, most of my opponent's deck is creatures, and I will see something that I don't want to hit the table.
This is a very high creature set. I mean, obviously, the set has a lot of creatures in it, but this set seems to have an exorbitantly more amount of creatures compared to any other spell in it. So I definitely agree with your pick. It's a strong pick.
That's all I have to say.
Okay, so my fourth pick, I think it's something you had earlier there, Foster, is the Emberhorn Minotaur.
Excuse me. I know that earlier. I think...
No, you had the Aw-Crop. Crash, never mind. Yeah. So Emberhorn Minotaur. Again, I know if you know it's not, but I've been kind of sticking more to a red-green kind of theme, because these cards you probably want to play. I think it's going to be a strong mix. Even some white, too. So it's three colorless, one red. You may exert Emberhorn Minotaur as it attacks. If you do, it gets +1/+1 against Menace until that turn. It's a 4/3. So I potentially have a 5/3 swinging in with Menace. Right? So I was just thinking that it was a little later game, but it gives you that ability to be less blockable. And red does have some spot removal in it, the instant speed stuff.
Yeah.
And even when you try it, like even when you talk about if you add some white in there, that visor of a deferment, whatever you just talked about there, Snick, it just gives you a little more options. Now, oh, by the way, I'm going to flash in this creature and blink out that creature. So now you don't have two creatures to block with. You only have one, so now this thing is getting through for 5 damage. I just thought it, again, I've been thinking more about speed and winning. Let's be honest, pre-releases, limited, normally comes down to who can win faster, who can get a quicker deck normally. That way, because, let's be honest, limited, there's always ability to, there's a lot of nice mechanics, but it takes a while to get that to evolve and come to service and actually take advantage of it. Where I think this kind of stuff, hit them hard, hit them quick, get the life total down, and then you can sit back and wait for your bigger finishers and stuff. Like even if you go red-green or something, to finish them off, those bigger creatures with the cycling. You know, I just think, personally, that's why it went so high for me.
But with every new format, it is better to go aggressive until kinks are all worked out and you figure out how different decks want to run.
Oh, yeah.
That's why you never really see any control decks for a standard.
Oh, yeah, they need to figure out what they want to counter first. Right? Yeah, definitely.
So, like, all these, like, these different decks, like, the zombie deck might not be a thing and, like, see it often and limited for, like, a while because people might...
I can see it in draft right away.
Yeah.
It's right there in front of your face. It's sealed. You have to get all the cards for it to work. Now, a lot of the pieces work well on their own. But you have to be able to have it all work. I expect to see zombie decks and Zerk decks.
And again, like we were talking before, the potential for the splash, right? It's only one red with three colors, right? So it fits in there with that the Zerk green-white card. It fits in there for that the cycling, get them out and play this card. That's why I put it so high.
And it also fits in with the one of the other cards you talked about earlier, that 4/4 twins.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
And the other one I talked about earlier... What was it called?
Is that another Minotaur?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On-crop Crasher, which the On-crop Crasher comes out on 3, this one comes out on 4, the Twins comes out on 5.
And let's not forget about the rare, we're not talking about the red-black Minotaur that gives all your creatures +1/+1 on first strike Minotaur creatures, right?
Yeah.
So I just think there's a very strong, viable Minotaur theme, on top of the fact this card is a very good card as a standalone without adding that theme into it.
All right. Well, my next card is Stir the Sands,
which was my previous card.
Yeah.
Whoa, let's see what you guys got to say on that.
Okay, so it costs black and 4, and it's a sorcery, uncommon. Create 3/2/2 black zombie creature tokens. It has cycling of 3 and a black, and when you cycle it, create a 2/2 black zombie token. I really like this because even if I cycle it, I'm still getting a creature to the board.
And that card you talked about earlier, at 3, the Zombie Lord, now it's a 3/3 zombie token, right?
Yeah. This card, I feel, is perfectly costed for both sides of the ability. For 6 mana, so...
6 mana, 6 power.
6 power... I mean, 6 mana, I'm getting 6 power. I'm getting 3 bears. 3/2/2 bears. They're zombies. I'm not talking about actual bears. For 6 mana, I'm getting 3 of them in one card. If I want to cycle it, for 2 mana, a lot of cycling cards cost 2.
Yeah.
I'm getting draw a card, and I get to make a zombie. So for 4 mana, I'm still getting 2 things out of it.
It's like paying two for a 2/2 and then two for the drawing card anyway.
Yeah, it's a very well even costed card that works really well with the zombie theme that's all throughout this Egyptian set.
Yep. I just think it's a solid card even if you're not in a zombie theme. Just to have. Just having the blockers or ability.
So, it's like you've done any time, so you'd be a surprise blocker.
Yeah.
For example, you know, creatures just can't block this turn. You put the -1/-1. I'm going to swing in and kill him. I select that I get a 2/2 zombie, block it, and I have enough creatures on the board to swing back and kill him on the counterattack, right? So.
Yep.
Yeah. I also love that it doesn't have the, like, what they like to do before, I remember, is if you're creating zombie tokens, they all enter tapped.
Yeah,
they're not doing that this time.
For a couple sets now, but I definitely agree with you. That was the most infuriating thing about trying to play zombies. Everything enter tapped. Well, that's cool and all, but it handcuffs you, really.
Yeah,
even when you're doing it on your own turn.
You'd misread it at the release or something, you'd play it, and then they'd be like, oh, they're all tapped. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
Definitely. Oh, crap.
Yeah.
Well, I should have done something else that wouldn't want me to game, but would have saved me a few turns. And
to be able to get the zombies out and being able to block for me. My number four pick is Angler Drake. 4 and double blue for a 4/4 flyer, and when it enters the battlefield, you may return target creature to its owner's hand.
Oh my.
6 mana for a 4/4 flyer.
Yep.
I like it. Being able to summon a creature on top of that, really good tempo swing, especially in limited.
Yeah, definitely. It's not going to make standard play by any stretch of the means, but that limited, very good card. More powerful, I think, than people are going to give it credit for at first.
I find it's kind of weird that they didn't throw cycling on this one either.
This does feel weird that there's no cycling on this one.
What rarity is that? Is it common?
It's uncommon.
It's uncommon. It's really weird because the other flyers have cycling.
Yeah.
And this is an expensive flyer, and that sort of seemed the theme they were going with. These expensive cards were having cycling.
But that's probably the best ability out of any flyer I've seen.
Yes.
Maybe it's why didn't throw cycling there.
Or they could have just had the 4/4 flyer for 6, or if you cycle it, you get the unsummon. Because I really would, like, when I saw Stir the Sands at first, I thought there was going to be more abilities like that because I've seen the old cycling cards that have things that they do additional things when you cycle.
Mm-hmm. There wasn't many cards of those, if you cycle it, do this. And that was there. Yeah. I think there was one cycle of them.
Yeah.
I like the Drake.
It's a Drake. It flies. It beats bases.
It bounces the creatures.
Yeah.
And so if somebody does have that giant spider there, you're not going to get you're going to get in for that turn.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I want to see it. If my pool streams, I would have to play blue. I want to see the Drake. Go as well as a bunch of the other cards in the set.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Okay, we're in the top three.
Top three. So this one here, really my top three could be a little different, but I got a little, keeping that red-green kind of thought. I went with the Karina Charioteer. So it's the, I think that's my one I thought, said before, I'm mistaken. So that is
okay.
So it's the, Karina Charioteer, one colorless, one red, one green, and it's the 3/3 with trample. All the creatures you control have trample. So we talked about before having those big 7/7s and 7/6 green creatures already with hexproof and stuff that people can't target. Now you're, and they don't have trample. Now you play this guy, they have trample. So now they got even better, in my opinion, because now you can't target them, you can't kill them, the creatures block them, and now you throw stuff in front of them, you can't jump block anymore. You can, but you're still going to take damage there, right? Like it just, to me, I think it just adds, it's a good card, it's only 3/3 with trample, then you add this ability to all your creatures you control, especially if you're going wide.
Oh yeah.
It chips away at life total very fast.
I feel like this card fits well into a Naya theme, a red-green, just a straight red-green deck, or a John theme using cards like Stir the Sands.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, all those zombies are going to have trample.
Right.
They got to start blocking smarter. What was it? Aether of Volt had a card that had trample, or gave something else trample? There was something recently. I remember playing with it.
Yeah, there is. I mean,
and it threw off my opponents that I was like, Well, okay, my stuff, no, this stuff has trample, and they're just conceived to it.
I'm not very good with Aether Revolt cards.
And another thing, too, going back to my ninth pick, Consuming Fever. Now there's the 6/6 trampler that puts -1/-1 counters on it. When all your creatures have trample now, that -1/-1 counter got extremely better because now one more point of damage going through, it might be different between chump block or trade, from trade to chump block, and doing some damage on top of it. That's kind of one reason why I put it so high, too.
Okay. My card is Cartouche of Knowledge. It costs 1 and a blue. It's enchantment or a cartouche. And it says, enchant creature you control. When Cartouche of Knowledge enters the battlefield, draw a card. Enchanted creature gets +1/+1 and flying. I like this. I don't usually like auras, but because it enters and replaces itself, when they hit it, it doesn't feel like as much of a deficit of like a 2-for-1 as normal auras do. And it also gives that creature evasion. Plus the +1/+1 bonus.
Yeah.
It is in the top three of my favorite cartouches.
There's only five, so
there's two I really don't like, I just don't remember what they are.
Yeah. No.
It's up there.
It's a good card. I'm not sure it'd make top three in my list. Don't get me wrong, that evasion, the +1/+1, in fact, draw a card off it, very good. I'd definitely probably put it in the top 10 list, but I don't think it'd make my top five or even. Definitely not top three list.
It makes that kitty pretty good.
It does. Agree with
it really does. In a white-blue deck, it makes that kitty a two-two flyer, a white flake.
White-blue flyers deck is very important. Don't get me wrong. I just, like I said, specific scenarios, very good. Very good regardless, but personally, I wouldn't rank it that high. Not saying it's a bad choice. I just would probably put it a little bit lower. But again, if you get a pool that screams that play blue-white, you want to see that card in your pool for sure.
Oh, yeah. And I want to put that on my number one pick. My number one pick is a creature.
Okay.
And I really want to put that on my number one pick.
Okay. You know, I'm probably good for my number one pick. You know how to say that? Yeah, my number one pick is a creature also, and that'd definitely be on curve and just smash face bad.
My number three pick? Crocodile of the Crossing. It's a 3 and a green with haste for a 5/4 creature. When Crocodile of the Crossing enters the battlefield, put a -1/-1 counter on target creature you control. Again, back into that whole I want to beat face theme.
Mm-hmm. I looked at that.
So it's very aggressively costed for what it does.
Definitely. And when I looked at that card, I kind of, like I said, we did this fast game late. My list got destroyed there. I'm like, I've seen that. I kind of wish I had to rank that in my list somewhere else because a little higher, because that's a very good card, especially for limited. It's going to see some play, and it's going to do some damage like you talked about. And the fact that -1/-1 counters is a theme that I think is going to definitely have people worried. At least I'm a little worried about it. What if they play a creature with -1/-1, and now I have a good blocker that will do a trade or even come out on top when I suddenly... Oh, crap, now if I block, I lose this creature. And, you know, I just think that this is a very, very well-balanced card. Almost too good for being common.
A lot of these -1/-1 cards that are in the set, I want to see them with an older card that's modern. Malira.
Oh.
Just because I think it would be fun to draft this set with Mirrored and Besieged because of Malira.
Yeah.
But that's digressing.
Well, why not just do a draft of this, except for you just throw a random Malira in a pack.
Ah, okay. So if that ever happens at our local game store, we'll know who to blame.
And whose fingers to break?
Yours, right?
No, I was the one who came up with that.
Yours, right?
Yeah, you better keep those hands close to your chest, because they're going to go down.
All right.
Okay, what's our number two pick?
Number two pick for me. Where we talked about before, Foster, a Hand Crop Crasher.
Ah.
I made that my number two for a couple reasons. 1 red, 2 colorless. It's a 3/2 with haste. And whenever it attacks, you have target creature doesn't block this turn. So to me, it seems something similar like the goblin there. I had the name, I just lost it. The one that you could play for cheaper from your hand. Dark Reach can block this turn when attacked. Going back a couple sets now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Anyway. I know which one you're talking about. I just can't think of the name either.
So Economy gives you that similar feel to that, except it's not going to keep bouncing back your hand. You're going to keep it on the board. And 3-2, with the Minotaur theme in here, I think a 3-2 Haster, you can play that, the rare at 3. It's a 3-3. You play this on turn 4. You're now swinging with a power of 7 at somebody, as opposed to, you know, I just think it's going to be a very powerful card in limited, especially if you can find that red-black Minotaur theme. Even red-green. Trample, 3-2, fast, hit him in the face, get him on a defensive posture so they're not coming into you, and a card like this just gives you that option, because if someone does find a way to get rid of your stuff, you're playing a card that's going to come down and hit it, swing it right away, something they're not counting on when they do the math of how many points get here, you know, their life goals are this. I can give them 2 or 3 turns, and they're going to give me 4, so I can go suddenly, bam, this comes down, and it shifts that whole...
It changes all the math.
Changes the math, changes the perception, changes a lot of things where people might not be expecting that quality of the card to come down.
I really enjoy how it has haste, and it makes it so a creature can't be blocked.
Exactly.
It's that part of the card that I really like. I could have put this card higher on my list. More or less, just threw it on the list.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I really liked it. And it's more the toughness is why I put it lower on the list.
I agree, but then, again, like we've said before, there's not a lot of instant speed removal to kill it in this set. Now you start branching out, you start bringing in Aether, and then there's the stuff that's too damaged to it, but then...
We're not going to see a Minotaur theme in Standard.
No, definitely. But I think it's a very viable theme in Limited, because there's a lot of good Minotaurs. Like, probably the best group of Minotaurs I've seen, because they tried doing it with, was it Born of the Gods had the Minotaur theme there?
I think it did. Yeah. I wasn't around.
It was okay. Don't get me wrong. It was pretty good if you had to pull, like, that God pack almost, right? A few pieces all together.
You had to get the rare Lord.
Definitely.
First pack to be able to pull off.
Definitely. And don't get me wrong, we're talking about a rare Minotaur Lord here, basically, again. But these Minotaurs are good enough to stand alone without that Lord. That Lord just, to me, gives them that extra nasty presence.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's my 2 cents. You guys can carry on.
All right. I'm setting my piece on it. What's your number 2 pick there, Snick?
This one goes really well with my number 3 pick. It's Trial of Knowledge. It costs 3 generic, a blue. It's an enchantment, and when Trial of Knowledge enters the battlefield, draw 3 cards, then discard a card. When a cartouche enters the battlefield under your control, return Trial of Knowledge to its owner's hand. It's a really solid draw spell that if I'm playing some cartouches in the deck, I get to reuse over and over again.
I know your list isn't in any order, but why this trial? I agree, all the trials have their place. Would you clump this in with the rest of the trials, or is this trial better, in your opinion, than the rest?
I picked this one because it was my favorite. They're all really good, but I always value card advantage, especially in a limited game of Magic. I always value it higher than other things. Anywhere where you can get a higher advantage on your opponent, I find is better.
I just feel in Limited this one might be a much lower pick, well, for myself, with the haste creatures in the set.
Yeah.
Unless you have the, I think it's a 1/5 crab for 3 mana in play already, that's in the set. Already in play, I don't think the Trial of Knowledge impacts the board well enough.
I'm not saying that you play it turn 4.
Okay.
I'm saying you play it later on, refill.
So when you're putting together your deck, are you going to put this up higher on in your
I would
mana
probably
curve?
Put it in somewhere like 6-7.
Okay. As long as you're not like, well, I'm going to jam this on turn 4 if I have...
No, like you want to build up your board state.
Okay.
And this is really good for getting out of those stalled board states. If you're behind, it's a little less good, but it's also really good at getting you out of jam, whether your mana is screwed or... You're in a clump or something, too, because you get to throw away something you don't need.
And just the reusability of any of these trials is just amazing.
Oh, yeah. I can see at least a couple, at least this one we'll probably see playing a standard deck.
Oh, could you imagine just, like, playing a blue-green deck with the green trial that creates the token, and this, and then you play the cartouche on the on the token, bounce both, and then replay them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's just, like, I just think it's very powerful.
Okay. My number three pick might as well be a blue card.
Your number two.
Oh, yeah, my number two pick might as well be a blue card. It is Pouncing Cheetah. Two and a green for a 3/2. Cat. It is a cat that fits into the cat theme from earlier.
Meow.
With flash.
Oh, my.
At common.
What?
It is a 3/2 for 3 with flash in the common slot.
Oh my, I need to start looking a little closer to this list. Here you got the computer screen, man. I'm telling you, it's all full screen here. No, that's a really strong card. Definitely a good pick.
It allows you to play on your opponent's turn. And as we were talking earlier, they don't really have a lot of that anymore. So just being able to, even if you want to see what your opponent's going to play first before you throw it out. They're going to swing in with whatever. Do you want to play it? Do you not want to play it? Are you going to sit back and wait? Are you trying to be aggressive? Doesn't matter when you play it. If you want to be aggressive, you cast during your opponent's end step.
Right,
you can just play it during your turn. You can just pretend you have nothing, pass the turn back, throw it down, hold it as a removal spell.
Surprise blocker. Oh, yeah, all those lines. Yeah.
Because the Minotaur, what is it? The one we just talked about.
The Outcrop Crasher?
Yeah. It has to exert, choose a target that can't block.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can flash in the cheetah after the targets are made and trade with the Minotaur.
Yeah.
All for 3. The cheetah's a really strong limited card.
Definitely. I agree with that.
Why do they downpower our removal and then do this?
Because it's removal. It's removal a spell. Creature removal spell.
But I don't compare this to Lightning Bolt by any stretch of means, but the thing about Lightning Bolt, is for 1/3 damage to target creature or player. So you can sit back and hold it, and just smash somebody in the face of this, or that's what you call a creature, I'm going to get rid of it now. This kind of idea of the card. You're going to hold that card, you know, surprise blocker, they're getting pretty low, you want, I'm going to flash this in so I can hit it next turn, hit them next turn, and their turn, and one, it I know there's not a lot of instant removal, but especially playing red-green, you could be bluffing that you got that 4 damage red removal spell, right? Kind of idea. I mean, I might be off the track a little bit of this, but I really think it goes along the same lines. It's like not a premium, but it's a very substantive removal card, especially when we talked about before. The majority of the power and toughness of this set is like 1 and 2, so there's not a lot of 3 power, right? So I think it comes more a very effective card to be played.
And the art's really beautiful. It's a nice picture of a cheetah.
Yeah.
Just walking along that stone.
Very simple. Doesn't really look like a magic card. Just a simple picture of a cheetah.
Yeah, it looks more like a scene out of the Jungle Book.
No, there's no cheetahs in the Jungle Book. There's panthers and tigers. There's a lot. Eat you, baby.
Okay, so our number one picks.
So, this one here really could not have been a number one, but I'm kind of thinking, I'm going to tell you what it is. I went with the Blood Rage Brawler. 1 colorless, 1 red. It's a 4/3. When it enters the battlefield, discard a card. So, again, Minotaurs probably aren't going to be a theme in Standard. However, we still have Madness cards in Standard, right? You have the Red Burn. The Anger.
Fiery Temper.
You play as a Fiery Temper deck, now you're hitting somebody for 3. Plus you're playing a 4/3 creature on turn 2, turn 3, latest, right? That turn, and 4/3 again, with the guy I talked about here that gives all your creatures trample, 4/3 with a lot of power 2 cost creatures, you're getting in for 2 damage. 2/3 damage, right? And And again, going back, and all I'm talking about with that rare Minotaur, especially in limited, and sealed. You pull that guy in your pool with something like this, you are dropping him on turn two, you drop that guy on turn three. Now you have a 5-4 swinging in on turn three with first strike.
I forgot about this card.
It is. I think it's a home run. Whether you have that first strike or not, I think it's a home run. Whether you have the bonus to it, and for two mana late game, still a 4/3 creature, which is very it does some damage.
I think this is actually one of the best red creatures they've printed since. Goblin Guy, Swift Spear.
Or Storm Chaser Mage. 1/3 flyer with prowess and free off the card, too.
But that's not blue in it.
It's a red card. Okay.
I'm talking about the monocolor.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
When I saw the card was spoiled, I actually was really excited for it. I forgot about it. I didn't see it when I was looking through the spoiler tonight. Just having a 2-costing 4/3. For 2 mana, I don't even care about discarding the card.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beef stick for 2 mana.
And let's not forget, too, we talk about the white cards and stuff, or even the black cards you can recycle on your graveyard. I'm gonna discard a card I can't play right now. I'll bring back later on when I can more cost-effective me. And maybe put it over top the edge, or worst case scenario, I'm not losing value for the card I discard because I can still play it later on.
Oh, yeah. I think your number one card tops mine.
Okay. I'm curious to see what it is. You're up next.
I think mine tops everyone's.
Yeah, keep talking.
It is Full Art Island.
Anyways, moving on. Seriously, what's your top card?
Full Art Island. You need the island to play all the good blue cards.
Do you mind if I stay in your couch a little bit of blood right now?
Can we take it out of the river first?
Yeah.
That way we can walk down to the river and you can hear the cinder blocks. It's kind of rushing over on this side. It's a lot fuller than up by the dam. Okay, we'll just move on to my number one pick.
I do want to point out how awesome the art is on all the fuller basic lands they did in this set.
Yeah.
With the Nicobolas horns in the background of all the ruins and stuff that they have there.
It is really awesome.
I got one on the weekend I put that event. And one prizes, which is a pick of the lands. I got a white one. So I picked the red one on my first turn. And actually, I took blue. Blue, then red. Because blue is actually $2 more than the rest of the colors. Everyone loves blue foils. But that art, the pictures don't do any justice in my opinion. I mean, I see the card, especially in its foil, and that those horns pop out. Very well done. Well done, art.
It is done. Well done. Yeah.
So now, Foster, I am a little excited to hear what you pick for your number one. So let's say number one top.
I cut you off about my number one.
Yeah, you did. What is it?
It is Scale Behemoth.
Scale Behemoth.
The 4 and double green hexproof 6/7.
Yeah, that's right.
I like it because it has hexproof and it's huge.
Hexproof should not be a thing.
It fits well in the Naya deck we've talked about with the red-green, get everything trample.
Yep.
It really just exemplifies how green used to be, but better in our new day and age.
Right.
With the hexproof.
Ways to protect them, because that's the problem green always had. They had these big bomb creatures, and the way to protect them, I'm going to play this. Swords it.
Yeah.
Laugh it. Terror it. Different. Great green creatures that got killed so easily. Now they have ways to protect them.
I played green multiple times in Limited, and anything that was big with hexproof has just won me games.
Because they only chump blocks when they turn.
Oh, yeah. And if they don't, there's ways to pump it.
Ways to pump it, and now we're talking about that trample effect. All your creatures. And now you have the green spell protect that guy gets that random trample.
Yeah.
I just think this is a good card. Very good card. I think the edge goes to mine just because of the speed, how fast it goes down, but I would love to see that card in my pool.
Oh, yeah. Any thoughts on this big green card being my number one pick?
Hexproof should not be a thing. My opponent should not be allowed to target their own creature. If I cannot target it as well, it should have Shroud. Shroud should be the thing.
How do you feel about Glyphosate Draft?
Yeah, I feel like it's Glyphosate Draft like it was... Like, it's going out of style.
Oh, so it's okay if it's on a blue card.
No, I feel like, just playing with Geist and Draft and being able to, protect it from being blocked and stuff with the blinking, it should have had Shroud, too. They should not have gone away from Shroud and came up with Hexproof.
Hexproof was always a thing, but it was only trolls that had hexproof. Troll aesthetic, yeah, run. It was you around the local game store. We called it Troll Shroud.
Mm-hmm.
It was only on trolls before, and they weren't printed all the time, so I guess it felt a lot better because we weren't seeing it on a giant crocodile. We weren't seeing it on a ghost that makes a 4/4 angel.
It just feels a little unfair and overpowered.
Well,
when you play...
The difference, too, with Geist is you could bonfire your opponent and kill that Geist, right, with it. You'd also, you know, now we have Anger of the Gods. We even have, from the Androzzi set, the Mythic Rare, the colorless, basically, burn spell that does 2 damage on the cross board to get rid of the Geist. You have something like this, though, at 6-7, you're not killing it. Like, the only way to kill it, really, is...
Blocking,
and that defends that source spell, and source you can't even do it on your turn. 3 damage to all creatures.
I'm seeing some play in Standard in a green ramp deck.
If you put a ramp deck, that's how you see play. If they can make a ramp deck work, I can see a card making a Standard playable, sure.
I also have an honorable mention.
Honorable mention?
I have an honorable mention because it goes with the Exert ability.
Okay.
Synchronized Strike.
That's a green card, isn't it?
Yeah. 2 and a green, instant speed, untap up to 2 target creatures. They each get +2/+2 until end of turn.
Oh my.
It's good even outside of an Exert deck.
Definitely.
It's good with the Behemoth. It's just...
Again, why it should have Shroud, not Hexproof.
It's just a very powerful green combat trick. And as we've talked about before, there's not many good combat tricks around.
No, not that you used to be, at least, for sure.
And this one fits very well in a lot of themes that green is trying to push.
Mm-hmm.
I want that if I'm playing Exert.
Alright.
So, apparently, I really like green for this set.
Apparently, I still really don't like red.
Well, not everybody can be perfect.
Did you pick a single red card?
My multicolor cards.
Oh, right, your multicolor cards. Which I stayed away from.
I picked a couple. I really. That my number 3 pick could potentially be my number 1. We'll give me everything vigilance. 3/3, 4/3 with trample. All your creatures trample. To me, that could be number 1 pick in a draft. Or it could be number 1 pick in a draft, potentially, depending on what your rare is in the back. And also, it's something you build around. You make an offensive, because there's a lot of cheap offensive threats, and you add something like trample to that list of threats, you just got that much more, and you're going to start picking and choosing what you kill, especially with limited removal in the set. I think it just makes it a little more aggressive and more difficult for your opponent to stay ahead of your life category, right?
All right, well, we should start with our sign-offs then. Foster, anything new going on with you lately?
I've gotten back into Pokemon VGC. I've got a team that I'm trying out, and before this is up, I've streamed the team on Twitch. You can check out my Twitch at Foster1992J, and you can check out my YouTube channel where I do pack openings, commentate games I've recorded. It's Foster_TCG.
Alright. Sergeant Mountain, anything you'd like to tell people?
I think, personally, everyone loves to play a winning deck, but I think people need to take a step back from the net decking or, you know, and start building stuff themselves. Because I've seen a few guys that do this that don't net deck. I personally don't net deck. I'll see an idea, a couple decks, and kind of combine it, make my own idea. It's really wrong. I look at lists sometimes, but I like to see some people come up with a little more original ideas. Because that's a little flair, adds a little, I don't know what exactly I'm going to get against the opponent. So when you go in with a deck that plays well against these net decks, but it has a little extra piece to it that people are not expecting, I'm winning a lot of games because people have not planned for this in their sideboard. People have not planned to take this, you know, be playing against this angle that I'm using. They play something similar to what's being out there, but you add your own flair in there, your own little flavor, and it just it can make people look very silly sometimes because it's a good card, and because just because you're playing what the pros tell you to play doesn't always mean it's going to win you all the matches. That's my thoughts.
Well, even when you're net decking, you need to be taking into regard the local metagame.
Definitely. And a lot of people don't do that, as we know at our store. A lot of guys play these decks are making, you know, win Pro Tours, come to the store, and they're getting, like, no, mind you, some of them don't pile them as well, but other people who do a very good job piling them, and things are going well, they're not finishing very as high as they could be because people are playing something similar, but they've added that little extra twist or something that maybe the pros didn't see, or you saw a different angle, and don't get me wrong, always, you know, luck has something to do with it a little bit. You need a skill, a little bit of luck, what card you draw, you know, I need a kill spell, and I draw a mana or something, but I just personally like to see a deck that's not quite 100% to that net deck list, just spice things up a little bit and just kind of give us a little something for somebody to think about that they're not necessarily considering, right? So, don't everybody do it because you'll fuck with my my mojo here.
You were so good there, and you had to go and ruin it right at the end.
Oh, well, whatever. I didn't swear all night. That's why I'm having trouble, right?
How long have we been recording for?
Almost 2 hours now.
And Sergeant went almost 2 hours without swearing. I think he deserves a cookie for that one.
I like cookies. I love cookies. I don't want any of these moldy pockets.
Oh, I'll give him a chocolate after we're done recording for his good behavior tonight.
Well, thank you. Such a good boy. Yeah, right.
All right. And
promoting Mo.
What? And as always, we are brought to you by the support of Mo's Magic and Mo'sMagic.com. It's a great place to buy any Magic product you could be looking for, and also if you are in the Orangeville, Ontario, Canada area, feel free to come by and check out the great little shop. And if you're listening to us on MTGcast, which that's where we're only posting it, so you probably are hearing it there. Don't forget that it's not free for them to keep this site up and running, and for this content to be coming out, and it's free for us, the podcasters, but it does cost money for them, so if you like the content that you're getting here, please hit the donate button or the support MTGcast button at the top of the website and help them out. And as always, I'm Sick.
I'm Foster.
I'm Starred Mountain.
And Red Sox Blue Rocks.